The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
All right. So apparently there's some kind of big game this weekend. Do you you guys excited about that? Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't really hear you guys. Are you guys excited about this game? All right. That's better. That's better. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, too. I got to tell you guys, playing in front of 110,000 people out there at Beaver Stadium, it's really exciting. I really enjoy it. Have a blast with that. But tonight what I'm actually going to talk about is a part of my life that's actually more exciting than playing Penn State football. It fills me with more joy, gives me more peace, and gives me more purpose than Penn State football ever could. And that part of my life is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, so I want to share with you guys two stories tonight. One of them kind of about how God brought me into a relationship with him, and then another story about how I've grown as a follower of Christ since I've been up here at Penn State. And my goal is that you guys could learn something from these stories, and I'm going to try to make it so that that'll happen. So a little background here into my life spiritually. I grew up in a Christian home, so I was going to church every week, you know, but for most part of my life, until I was about 17 or so, I really thought Christianity was just, you know, you go to church every week and you kind of try to be a good person in between there, but that was really all it was for me. And God kind of started bringing some things into my life to make me realize that that's not it at all. It's way more exciting than that, and that it's about knowing him and just following after Jesus. And so one event that really kind of opened my eyes and helped me realize that I didn't have it on my own happened the summer before my senior year of high school. And the way it happens, kind of cool. God actually like planted a verse in my heart, and I didn't study the Bible at all back then. So it actually happened when I was driving to football practice with my father, and we're listening to this Christian radio station, and there was a pastor talking about Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And Galatians 6, 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows." And I remember hearing that and thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, we reap what we sow, we get what we deserve. That's cool and all. But didn't really sink into my heart at that point. But 2 weeks later, God really drove that home for me. And the way that he drove it home for me was an area of my life where I was acting like an idiot. Back when I was younger, I was a teenage driver, and I drove like an idiot. Oh, man, I thought it was so cool. I got a car. All right, I'm going to go flying. Yeah, go 90 on the highway, whatever. Yeah, flying around curves. That's so much fun, right? But God kind of used that to humble me in a pretty powerful way. One night I was driving at night and going way too fast around this turn, hit the guardrail, was swerving for a while, went down this hill, narrowly missed a bunch of trees, and ended up in somebody's backyard. And as I was standing there looking at this totaled car, just kind of thinking about what all happened, God kind of brought that verse to my mind that you can't mock God. You can't think that you can do whatever you want and that nothing's going to happen. And I don't know, for you guys, that might be a different area of your life. I mean, college students, I feel like partying's a big one. Some of us think we can just party all we want. Nothing's ever going to happen. Another area might be premarital sex. I don't know what it is for you. But, I mean, the best advice I could offer is just turn that wheel around before you head for a crash, because it's not fun. But God really used that to help me realize that I wasn't invincible and that I needed him, and I need him every day. And the cool part about what happened is that God really, that verse, Galatians 6, 7, that really speaks to God's justice. It says we get what we deserve. But the cool part about our God is that most of the time he treats us way better than we deserve, and that's what we call mercy. And really, in that instance, God treated with mercy. I mean, there was me, my sister, and a friend in the car. None of us were hurt. If we had been going a little bit faster, about 50 yards ahead, there was a lake. So could have ended up in there, but we didn't, thanks to God's mercy. And so God either treats us with justice, I learned. He treats us exactly how we deserve. Or he treats us with mercy, just treating us better than we deserve. But the awesome part about our God is that sometimes he even goes farther than that. And he treats us the exact opposite of what we deserve. And that's what we call grace. And grace is what we get for eternity through Jesus Christ. God's grace, because of our sins, we deserve death for eternity. We deserve eternal separation from God. But God sent his son to pay that penalty for us so that we wouldn't have to suffer death for eternity. He gives us the opposite, offers us the opposite of what we deserve. He offers us life for eternity through his son, and that's awesome. And as soon as I began to let that sink into my life, God really just began to change me. And so as he's changing me, I come up here to Penn State, and I'm now trying to follow hard after Christ. And I'll tell you another story about kind of how God kind of, you know, is teaching me and helping me to grow. And the biggest way that I think all of us as believers grow is by studying the Word. And I really believe that just reading the Word is not really enough, that you really got to read it, you got to think about it, dwell on it. And I really believe in writing about what you read in a journal or something to kind of help you just formulate those thoughts and let them really sink in. So I want to tell you a story about how taking the Word and thinking about it and then putting it into play in my life really turned out pretty cool. So this is my freshman year up here at Penn State playing football, and I'm reading through the book of Proverbs. And there's a verse in Proverbs, it says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." And I remember I'm a little freshman, and I'm reading that, I'm thinking, that's pretty awesome. I mean, I got all these different plans, and I don't really know which way I'm going yet. Do I major in this? Do I major in that? What's going to happen? And that verse was really comforting, that the Lord's purpose is going to prevail. But a couple days later, I'm reading Proverbs. There's another verse. It says, "Commit your plans to the Lord, and they will succeed." I remember thinking, that's pretty awesome, too. I mean, I got all these goals in my life. I got academic goals. I have athletic goals I want to reach. And this verse is telling me if I commit them to the Lord, they're going to succeed. And I was thinking, that's awesome. That's really comforting. But at the same time, I was kind of thinking about those things. I was thinking, well, what happens if I commit a plan to the Lord, but that wasn't his purpose? How does that kind of work itself out? And if the Bible is really the Word of God and really is truth, then it can't contradict itself. So I was struggling with that. Finally, just heard God tell me, hey, just put it into play. Try it out. See what happens. So I did. And at that point in the season, I was coming off an injury. Wasn't really playing at all. Was probably playing five plays a game, you know, just in there at the end when we're killing somebody. And, that's really not fun to just be playing five plays at the end. And I wasn't happy with that, and I just prayed to God one day. I said, God, it's my plan to be the starter at right guard by the time there's five games left in the season, and I want to commit that plan to you, Lord, for your glory, because you said in your word that if I did, it would succeed. So I said that prayer. A couple weeks are going by, and nothing's happening. I'm just playing five plays a game in there at the end when we're killing people. Nothing's really happening to make it look like that's going to become a reality. So lo and behold, it's a week before, it would be 5 weeks until the season's over, until I kind of set that date to be the starter. And the kid who was ahead of me played fine the week before. There's no reason at all why I'd be the starter. And come in on Monday morning and find out that the kid had a minor concussion the game before, and he had to sit out for 1 week. And I was kind of like, whoa, God, wow, that's pretty awesome. So not that I was happy he was hurt, but I mean, so comes time for the game. It's Saturday. I'm going to be the starter. I'm really excited. It's a big game, national TV, Big Ten opponent on the road. I'm so excited, but oh man, am I nervous. I'm just like, I'm a freshman. I've never started before. Oh, this is what am I going to do? And so game starts, I'm playing, and I played terrible. Oh man, I was so bad, they yanked me halfway through the second quarter. That's how bad I was playing. And you can laugh, feel free. I'm laughing about it. It's cool. You know, Joe Pa, he helped me out, though. He was real encouraging. After I was playing bad and they took me out, he comes over on the sidelines and he says, "Hey, Wisniewski." He says, "You look like an old lady out there." And I don't see how I could have looked like an old lady. I don't resemble an old lady in any way, as far as I'm aware. But, I mean, the guy's won like 400 games, so I guess you just give him the benefit of the doubt. But ends up, I didn't play any more that game, but as the season kind of came to a close, I started playing about half the game, alternating with this other kid, and just really got some valuable experience. So kind of the way those two verses work themselves out was pretty cool, is that the plan I committed to the Lord, it did succeed, but it succeeded according to his purpose. And ultimately, how can I or how could any of us be upset about that? So just a couple things wrap up in closing. If you're reading the word, that's great. Just go deeper with it. Dwell on it, study it, write about it, and put it into play in your life. God will do some great things. And I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to speak tonight. And just want to throw out there that any prayers you could throw my way or the team's way this weekend would be much appreciated. God bless, guys.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.